free when there is a... It's not our purpose to have all flags taken down, but to have all voices heard. We're taking the most American of actions. We're going to court and demanding the right to speak. The First Amendment is the number one amendment for a reason. Free speech is central to our democracy.
Nice. Good job, Nathan.
Great quote by Nathan.
Here's another one of his. A win for the Constitution is a win for all of us.
Yeah, you would think so. Although, we'll see. I mean, people need to exercise those constitutional rights.
Well, and I think somebody was saying how in the 1950s, that this or 1960s or something like that, in Berkeley, the free speech movement is what sort of sparked all this other hoo-ha. So I think maybe we can all sort of gather around that.
Hey, that's very true. The repression by the University of California at Berkeley by Chancellor Kerr, when he cracked down on that small Bancroft strip of tables, resulted in students essentially standing up and saying, no way, taking over Sproul Hall, taking over Sproul Plaza,
mm-hmm.
Surrounding a police car peacefully, mind you, and having, you know, 17 hours of...
They
created their own plaza. I mean,
so here we are, back at the table.
We're back again. So
at the table, and you're getting silence. What are you gonna do?
Hey, I'm gonna go back there as usual. But I hope I get joined. We need people to help that table downtown, 423 Huff. People
uh-huh.
call in if they're interested.
Uh-huh. It's a good way to spend your time.
Hey, Cassandra, I don't know about that, but it's the way I'm choosing. I'd like to get some other people to certainly choose to spend a little of their time that way.
Yeah. Any way you can resist, any way.
Hey, Cassandra Brown, 426-6515, if you want to reach her to help out with her project to turn the downtown street into a peace park.
Yeah.
And possibly to engage in a silent march on behalf of the Goodwill folks the Goodwill guy was fired in Florida for his political views.
Mm-hmm.
And
going
I get
Sam Farr's office.
Going to Sam Farr's office
because
Sam hasn't come out against the war either, nor has Marty, nor has... I haven't heard...
We could go to the city hall. We could ask for our bombing resolution.
Yeah,
the bombing.
The resolution that Berkeley passed, somewhat watered down, but that Santa Cruz refused to even introduce.
Right.
Also, have you heard what's happened to Rebecca Hall, who was accused of wheat-pasting flyers against the war?
Yes, I have heard her.
Give me the update.
I just heard... That's all. I don't know the update. I've only heard that she's looking for a lawyer.
If you can find her phone number, I don't know where she is.
I don't know. Susan Zeman might have it.
Okay. Maybe I should contract Susan. Also, I should tell you that there's a meeting tonight. You would be welcome to come to it. It's a coalition of groups meeting at 315 Mission Street, trying to set up a group that is concerned with issues of war and peace, kind of a coalition of left groups around war and peace, and also local issues like the sleeping ban and this criminalization of people in public spaces. So.
Okay, well, I'm gonna say goodbye, and here's Amy to say goodbye, too.
Hey, thank you,
thanks
Cassandra.
So much.
Hey, thanks, Cassandra.
Bye-bye.
Hey. Hey there, Courtney. I hope you come tonight to the infamous coalition meeting, which is trying to find a way to link all these different issues together, whether they're war and peace or privatization of public spaces or free speech issues.
Is this a newly designated meeting that just got decided just now?
No, it's a meeting that's happened actually for the last two or three weeks. It's
no kidding.
Representatives from different groups, Susan Zeman's in there, Jim Costner, Greg Uta, other folks, John Tilking of the Mumia Coalition.
Uh-huh.
Huff is represented. Their group's trying to get together to form a united front, or at least a front where people talk to each other, and so that we don't, you know, we don't sabotage each other, we support each other, we may disagree on some issues, but we...
That's great.
Some broader coalition. That's happening at 315 Mission Street tonight, if you're interested.
You know what? Being a new Free Radio Collective member...
Oh, no.
I know. I have a collective meeting for Free Radio.
Well,
and it will be my first.
Well, what you should do is you should go to one and then go to the other.
Gosh, that sounds like a good evening.
I mean, because one is only about, spend an hour at one, an hour at the other. Explain you can only spend a limited time at both, but it's like, dividing up the baby.
Where is it? 315 what?
315 Mission Street.
Mission Street.
Right.
Okay.
Hey, and to give the collective my regards, I will probably be more at one than at the other, or maybe I'll go out to a movie.
There you go.
Who knows?
There
man.
You go.
Maybe
go to Tahiti for the night or something.
How about
something.
Black Hawk Rising? Ooh.
Down.
Hey, they're going to do a protest against Black Hawk Rising. SCAR, by the way, is meeting on that issue on Resource Center for Nonviolence.
Oh, great.
On, I guess it's Monday night, tomorrow night.
Great. Well, I know that the Direct Action Network is also planning a flyering blitz around that, too. So, but, okay, good. Thanks, Robert.
Hey, thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Oh, it's those long phone calls on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. That's what you're tuned to. I'm your host, Arn Norse. Phone lines are open, but here comes a call. Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, long-time caller, first-time listener.
Oh, right.
Just kidding. Hi, Robert, this is Vinny.
You're going to get it, Vinny.
I've been listening to your show.
Yeah.
A little bit, the last hour there. And I wanted to say a couple things, and then I want to ask you a question about something I heard. Hopefully you can clarify.
Sure.
If people didn't get enough of Amy and Cassandra there, I do have a 20-minute interview, which is going to be played sometime between 3 and 6 today on Old Lady Scararm's program. Mm-hmm. And they were also talking about Michael Itali, the guy from Miami who was the Socialist Workers Party candidate. Mm-hmm. I also spoke with him for about 20 minutes, 15 or 20 minutes interview. Mm-hmm. And that'll be played also during Old Lady Scararm's program.
3 to 6 today.
3 to 6 today. Mm-hmm. And so if people didn't get enough of that this morning, they can tune in again.
Mm-hmm. Probably more concisely than I was doing.
Yeah, well, pretty much. I mean, Amy and Courtney do most of the talk. I always do that. Amy and Cassandra were doing most of the talking, and they just kind of describe everything about what happened and the court, mm-hmm. the court ruling the decision this week by Judge White over in San Jose. Mm-hmm. And then I just wanted to plug that. From 3 to 6, Old Lady Scararm's. Cut your hair and get a fucking job.
Cut your hair and get a fucking job,
man. And the other thing I want to ask, actually, was I heard a rumor about something that happened on Friday. Maybe you touched upon this earlier. I didn't hear about it, though, mm-hmm. on the radio. Or maybe you didn't talk about it, but maybe you would talk about some incident that happened where a person flipped over your table.
Actually, he smashed my table down with his foot. And
did you talk about this already? Or
I've mentioned it kind of in passing, but I can mention it again.
Yeah, maybe you could just tell us a little bit about what happened, and I'll be listening intently.
No problem.
To my radio. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, actually, I'm going to be talking about that, and since we have a listener who's actually listening, maybe we should do so right now. There have been three major incidents at the table that have kind of attracted my notice. One is the incident that happened last week involving a protest. I filed a complaint against the hosts and a particular host for blasting music out over the hippie planter area, amplified music, which I called excessive noise. And I actually got a police officer to take that complaint. I've talked about that on the air. And in retaliation, the hosts had me barred from the host center. So I'm now, supposedly, if I walk in there, I'll be arrested for trespass. I do intend to go in there. I'm just choosing my time properly. I'm going to just do it when I have some media present and when I'm ready to go to jail, because I will go to jail. I'm not about to, you know, back down on this issue. And I also would like a nice lawsuit, because this is a public place. They shouldn't be doing this. That's one. The second incident that happened was when I myself was taken to the police station in handcuffs, as well as another woman. This happened on Wednesday. For supposedly blocking the sidewalk, but actually tabling. And this was done on the citizen's complaint of Matisse Selman in the mid-afternoon. I was tabling exactly where I'd always been. I talked about this, I guess, at the last show a little bit. And so Vinny, our caller, who may have heard that, first-time listener, frequent caller. Thanks, Vinny. But the incident he's most interested in, which I've taken time, as usual, getting to, happened on Friday night, actually. Was it Friday night? No, I think it was Thursday night, sorry. And that incident had to do with, it was the first night that Alibaba's Cafe was open, and the table was set up pretty much where it usually is set up, near on the Sushi Now side of the hippie planter area in front of New Leaf Market. And it was in the 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening. A fellow, in response to my cry to passers-by, boycott Sushi Now, now, boycott Alibaba's Cafe, boycott New Leaf Market, the response was, hey, those are good businesses, what are you talking about? And I said something like, not good for the people here. They're going to fence off this planter. They're going to essentially turn this into a private area. This guy walks over and says, you're driving away businesses. What are you doing? You should get the hell out of here. And I said, no, I have a right to be here, and I think that's what we all have a right to be here. He then said, get the fuck out of here, something to that effect. And I said, we all have a right to be here, at which point he smashed either his hand or his foot down on the table. I mean, and the table collapsed. And then he kicked it, and all the literature flew all over the sidewalk.
And then he stood and said, "You better get out of here, I'm going to kill you." And I didn't move, or actually I took a step forward and I said, "There's no need to be violent here. You know, you have a right to your view, I have a right to mine, but we can't get violent about this." And he was about to beat the shit out of me. I mean, there was no question. I was very brave or very foolish, or I don't know what. But this other guy stepped in and said, and his name was Jeff, and not the Jeff we have in the studio, but another man named Jeff, and said, "Hey, brother, you can't do this." And this guy smashed him in the face. Well, I guess butted him with his head and then smashed him in the face, or punched him, and there were two blows exchanged. And by about this time, there was a circle of people trying to break things up, but they were taking a distance. And the police seemed to be taking their time dealing with this. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they just, you know, they were too far away. But they finally got there, and they took the guy off to the side. They seemed to be treating him very gently. He wasn't handcuffed, as far as I know. They just had him on the sidewalk, seated. Whereas, in contrast, 2 days before, when Butchie Baker, 2 minutes after he came up to cite me for a ticket, I was handcuffed. And stashed in a squad car, and a woman was dragged away screaming in handcuffs. This was differently done, and I believe the man may still be in jail. His friend, the man's name is Jackal, who that's the only name I know of. The police didn't give me his name. The police didn't have me sign out a complaint, but they seemed to indicate. They said, "Do you want this complaint taken?" And I said, I asked the crowd what they wanted to do. I asked the man who was hit what he wanted to do. He said, "You've got to file a complaint. This man's violent. He assaulted you, he assaulted me, he threatened to kill you." I mean, it was a real terrorist threat. It was, and he backed it up immediately with violence, so it was quite serious. So, I told the police I did want to file a complaint. They never came back to have me sign anything, so it may be that they witnessed it, and they themselves filed the complaint. But as of now, no one has contacted me. I haven't heard any more details about this case. And I'm going to be looking into it on Monday when the DA's office opens to find out where it's gone. I don't have much faith in the prison system. I don't have much faith in the DA's system. I don't think that helps. And I think it's better if you can find ways to mediate these things. But this guy, his friend explained, his girlfriend had left him. He was very upset. He was very angry. He had some problem with the medication. Somebody else said he was drunk. He certainly didn't seem drunk to me. So there are numerous explanations for it, and I'm looking for more information about this case and this person. I'd like to see us resolve our own concerns without involving the police. But on the other hand, if somebody is going to be this violent this quickly, it's a really difficult situation. And that's what happened it wasn't Thursday because I was doing a radio show. It must have been Friday. It was Friday. So that's the sort of the story. I continued to do the radio show. I continued to do the tabling, and I came back on Saturday, and there was no problem, and continued to do the tabling there. You're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. It's Eleanor.
Hey, Eleanor.
I've been listening to the show. I have a question. Mm-hmm. Why didn't you sign a complaint against this man?
Well, the police actually kind of disappeared. They took the guy away.
But the man, you said that the police asked you if you wanted to sign a complaint, and you said no.
No, the police asked if I wanted it prosecuted. They didn't ask if I wanted a complaint signed. I turned to people and said, What do you think? And then they said, "Yes, you've got to." And I said, "Yes." I didn't say no. I said yes. But they didn't offer, you know, a form for me to sign.
Well, you have to sign a ticket book. They have to get it's a ticket book.
Right, I know. And they didn't offer that at all. And I assumed because they took the guy to jail, or they took the guy, some said they didn't. Some said they took him away and released him. But I think that my belief is that they took him into squad car and probably took him to jail because his friend said the next day he's in jail.
Yeah, well, you got to follow up and sign a complaint against this person.
He'll do it again.
You know, I mean, you got to stop these people.
Mm-hmm. Well, again, you see, I agree with you that, you know, it's important that this behavior not be repeated, no question about it. I don't agree necessarily that always signing a complaint is the best thing. I'm prepared to do that in this case. That was my choice on the scene, you know, unless... I don't know. I mean, I would like to see a mediation happen if that could happen.
Well, a mediation can happen after you sign the complaint.
Right.
When you sign the complaint, And they go through the process, and he gets, when he goes before the judge, when you personally speak with the DA, the assistant DA, you can tell the assistant DA that I believe mediation is in order.
Right.
And they'll arrange it for you.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm not saying that mediation is in order. I'm saying if that's your choice,
right,
then you can, after you have signed your name on the dotted line, said, yeah, I want to help the police on this. I want to help the court system. I want to support right and stop wrong. You're a peaceful guy. I'm shocked that you. Please, Robert, go sign a complaint.
Right. Well, I think on Monday, as I investigate this, that's what I'm going to do. And I'm also going to contact the DA I know in the DA's office who dropped all the complaints against me in the farmer's market dispute, which has some interesting parallels with the dispute we have here at Hippie Planter. And be doing that, I think that it's useful that you're reminding me that that needs to be done as well as you know, to find out what's going on with that and to do it. And I want to point out that while we have you on the phone, you yourself have been successful. We talked to you at some length, and we talked to Attorney Ed Fry about your successful defense against an unlawful detainer eviction lawsuit in Mercy Charities Housing, Sycamore
Yes.
Commons.
Yes.
But now you have also won the right to go into another housing project
Yes.
that better assists you because you're disabled. You're a person in a wheelchair, and your helpmate with you, Robert. Who they had previously insisted on jacking up the rent triple what they initially told you, and apparently you got a ruling from Judge Kelly that,
Yes.
that they couldn't do that. You want to tell us about that?
Oh, I'd be happy to. We did file a lawsuit against them when 14 days after they approved me and I was supposed to move in and inspected the apartment and everything, they decided to try to collect an additional rent from my live-in attendant. And they were unreasonable, and we tried to deal with them for a while. They caused me a lot of grief, you know, because I had already submitted my 30-day notice, and I couldn't ask my caregiver to do this because he's working far too much and doesn't get paid enough and just can't afford to do this. To sleep in the living room in a place that's just for disabled people, that he wouldn't be there if it wasn't for his job and love for me. Anyway, so we filed a lawsuit, and we did get a preliminary injunction, which Judge McAdams signed.
Sorry about that.
And sorry about what?
Oh, preliminary injunction. I thought I got the wrong judge there.
No, you're right. And then I'm backing up to let everybody know.
Yeah,
and then we went into court on the 29th for the permanent injunction. And that's when we went before Judge Thomas Kelly, and we won. We got a verdict. Judge Kelly gave a verdict in our favor and said that Mr. Preet is a live-in attendant, and he's working all these hours, and he makes his living from doing that job, and he's not going to penalize Robert because he loves me. He thinks it's wonderful. Those were his words.
Well, it sounds like, you know, what have you and the judge been having some hanky-panky here?
I never laid eyes on him, and in fact, they don't listen to you. They take, you know, you file briefs and objections. You know, you're on paper. He just read the file, the lawsuit, which I would like to, on the air, thank Becky Johnson for filing the amended objection declaration in reply to their attorney's answer. She did that for me because I was not able to do it. I was out of town, and because she filed that answer was there before the judge, and he saw that as well, which was very important to the case.
Now, are you having any trouble with Mercy Charities Housing? Is still there, or have you moved yet?
Oh, no, we haven't moved because we just got the order, and the judge, I had one ready for him to sign,
mm-hmm.
which is very important. I would like to tell everyone out there, when you are going before a judge on something, have ready an order for the judge to sign, and let him sign it right there. If you don't have the order ready, and then you come back a day or two later, it takes a month.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, so you know, goes through the loop, because then you have to go into the clerk's office, and then it takes forever.
Anything else you want to say? I'm going to hustle along because I've taken so much time in the earlier part of the show.
Well, make that complaint.
Good idea.
Make the complaint and support the police in their efforts to do the right thing by you, and support the courts. Be there every time you need to be, every time there's a hearing or a date, show your face. It supports the good cause. We have laws. Some of them you may disagree with, but the ones that we agree with, we have to support our police and our court system and the DAs on them. And I'm delighted with our outcome. They're ordered. Now it's a matter of they've been served. It's a matter of them contacting me for a move-in date, and then I'll be out of here, God willing, because that's what we want to do.
Well. Struggle on.
Robert wants one thing to be included.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Robert, we would like to see from your corner more successes, that you could get on the air and say, well, we've done this or we've done that as a result of either complaints or lawsuits or a coalition and an action. One way or the other, we'd like to see good news coming from your end, if that would be possible, that you could get together with your cohorts or the rest of your Hustle organization and attack one particular problem, let's say, and get a success. I'd like to hear success coming from you.
Thank you, Robert. I'll talk about that on the air a bit.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. And phone lines are open. And, yeah, there has been... Huff tends to run off in 43 directions at the same time, and I'm to blame for that, certainly. And we did, to some extent, react to events. Huff is Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom, the group I belong to, and write a lot of literature for. The most recent, of course, thing is this rather, seems like a futile battle against the privatization of Hippie Planet, or the boycott of Sushi Now, the boycott of New Leaf Market, the boycott of Alibaba's Cafe on this issue. And in a way, it is a futile battle. They've already passed through City Council. They're going to close this area off. In another way, it isn't, because if they have to pay a cost for it, it says something. But it isn't the kind of victory that that we'd like to present, the way that Robert and Eleanor won a victory, which is a strong, direct court victory, a court victory against the sleeping ban, a court victory against criminalization of the homeless, a court victory in terms of a legislative victory around rent control. Those would be some really strong victories. We have our small victories. And a lot of them simply involve educating the public, which is something we continue to do with this show.
Hey, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert.
Hey, what's happening?
Hey, sorry to hear about that Friday.
No problem.
What did you say that owner said when he found out about that?
Well, my understanding was, I mean, he actually supplied the ice to put on the nose of the guy who got punched, who stepped in to stop me from getting punched. And I don't think he was happy about what happened, but he did say, the first thing he said was, when I said that he stepped in to help you, Ali, I mean, unless I'm misunderstanding what Ali Ka said, was he said, when I told him the man had, you know, stood up for Ali, in the sense that he expressed, he would get the fuck out of here, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, for meaning I support Ali's cafe and I don't want to see you boycotting it. He said, that's beautiful. I think Ali may have misspoken himself there. Perhaps I misunderstood him. I don't have a lot of I often have a lot of good things to say about Ali as a business owner in terms of how he's treated people around his kiosk. I think there's been a lot of complaints by people I know, and justified complaints on the street about, you know, having people ticketed for sitting against his stand at night when it's closed, and he has no possible cause for complaint, for harassing people for playing the guitar nearby. That Skidmark Bob, who's a Free Radio broadcaster, has felt the brunt of that. For tickets for chalking on the sidewalk and the sleeping ban, you know, a political message on the public sidewalk. And, you know, I got testimony the other day that he threw someone into a window. Didn't break the window, but nearly did.
Look at they're getting violent.
Well, this was some time ago. I mean, Ali, some people think he's the friendliest guy in the world, and frankly,
I like Ali for other reasons, you know. I mean, I like Matisse, the guy who runs Sushi Now, but they are not only blaming their problems on local, you know, local people inappropriately, but they're also removing a whole public area that needs to be there for this community, and I can't accept that, and that's why I'm calling for the boycott.
When I heard that earlier, I thought, oh, man, I hope Robert can get a nice big lawsuit out of this. That's
right.
Why maybe that woman was right that you should file a...
Well, I don't think it's going to be... a lawsuit, you have to have somebody who has money to win against. I don't think...
Who was this guy, a scum, or...?
Well, it looked like one of the folks who might be hanging out at the planter kind of person.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Drunk and, yeah.
Well, I don't think he was drunk. I think he was feeling angry and about something else, perhaps, or... You know, I don't know. It's hard to say. There are those who suggest he was put up to this. I don't think he was. I think it happened. And I think, it's just that happens.
You know, another thing, Robert, I don't want to interrupt you, but, I got like an ugly feeling when I thought, when I heard that the police kind of seemed to take a long time getting there.
Right. I mean, again, I wondered about that, too. But then I heard from somebody yesterday that they were kind of slowly approaching, and... You know, it's sometimes hard to see from a distance whether something is as serious as it you can see up close. So, I'm going to do some more investigating.